Special good night. I'm Gerald John from Guyana, South America. And we are very grateful for the grace of the Lord. And we are thankful to be here with you wonderful people. And thank you for sending your preacher, Pastor Altizer. And we really love him. He did a tremendous job in Guyana and Hannah. And we are grateful for your preacher. We are thankful for your hospitality. And I felt at home. I've been so blessed already. And you will be more blessed tonight. Amen? Amen. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. And so I count it as a real joy and honor to be here. And I'm grateful. My son is with me. Josh, he's surrendered to preach. And he will give us a little message tonight, a short one. And I'm grateful for Brother Duncan. Be driving us all over America. And I know he's tired and he's like more than a father to me. And I want to just say thank you, brother, for all you did for us and my family over the years. And really appreciate you and love you. And we just want to say thank you. And so we are very grateful. We have a lot to show on the slide. I will show the slide, then we'll get Josh to preach. Brother Duncan will sing, and then I will preach. I just want to say this. In my knowledge, there are only about 20 fundamental independent Baptist churches in Guyana. And we have helped establish 13 of those churches in Guyana. Amen. In the past 21 years. And I'm with the Help Ministry now for 16 years. And we are so grateful for all that the Lord is doing through the Help Ministries. And because of that, we are able to do more in Guyana. And in Guyana, in every village, there is a Hindu temple and a Muslim mosque, every village. And it is my passion to plant a Baptist church in every village for God's glory. Amen. We have helped establish 13 churches, and I challenged my men in another 5 years, if you can start another 7 more churches. And we will have 20 churches, and I want to challenge that if every church can start a new church every 3 years, in every 3 years we're going to have 40 churches. And if each church can start one church every 3 years, in 6 years, we're going to have 80 churches. So in another 10 years, we can have 100 Baptist churches in Guyana. This is my vision. And there are 365 islands in Guyana. And there are many of these islands. People never even heard the name Jesus before. They've never seen a Bible. And so pray for us. There are a lot of work to be done in Guyana. Guyana need to be reached, and nothing is impossible with the Lord. And so thank you for having us tonight. And we ask your brother to show the slide and see what we are doing. And we have an orphanage project. We are building an orphanage right now. We have started a new work in an area called Blackwater. And we have got a piece of land to buy a property very cheap. The guy actually gave us that property for half price because he's in financial need. And so I stepped out by faith and went and paid down some money. I borrowed some money by faith and paid down for that property. And so we are trusting the Lord to provide for us that we can be able to pay off for it so we can have another church building in that area for the glory of God. So go ahead, brother. What we're doing there in Guyana, pray for us. Let the Lord continue to help us. Amen. My son will give us a 10-minute message. If you listen fast, we'll preach fast. And you guys are going to go home fast.
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Joshua John, and I have 10 minutes. So if you have your Bibles, turn me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60. Read verse 22. Can you find it, please say amen? Isaiah 60, 22. And it says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Let's pray. Thank God for this day, Lord. Thank you for bringing us all here back to the Lord for this evening. Sir, Lord, I ask you, use me, Lord, speak through me, Lord, and help us all to learn something here now. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you to give this message a small title of The Strength of the Small. The Strength of the Small. See, when we think of something small, we think of something weak. We think of something feeble, something insignificant. See, these days, if a church isn't running 100 people, it's seen as small. If a church isn't doing barbecues every other week, it's seen as small, right? See, if God, he loves using the small, right? See, God, he takes pleasure in using the small. See, we all have to start somewhere, right? We don't come out of the womb being big. We don't start a church with 1,000 people. See, we all have a starting position, and how we treat this starting position is how we'll determine where we'll end up. See, today I'll be sharing with you quickly a few points on how in God's eyes, the small is, in his eyes, the most useful. See, we can see the sacrifice of the small. See, as the small, as small people, we have to make sacrifice, right? See, in John chapter 6, verse 1 to 14, we know the story of when the little lad, he had his five loaves of bread and his two small fishes. See, in this portion of scripture, we see that God, he used this lad, right? See, we all know this story of how he used the lad and his five loaves to feed 5,000 people, right? See, this was a miracle made only possible because here we have a little lad with a small piece of lunch willing to give his all for Christ, willing to give all he had so that he can be used for Christ. See, today, church, you say, well, I'm small. I can't do anything for Christ. See, the difference between us and this little lad is this little lad, nobody had to come and beg him for his lunch. Christ didn't have to say, well, okay, you, give me that lunch. It's mine now. See, he actively went up. He took up the curtain and said, God, here I am. I don't have much. I have a little to offer, but I want you to use me. I want to be used by you. See, and today, what are we doing for Christ? See, are we saying, well, I'm too small. I can't be used by him. See, our mindset should be, well, I'm small, Christ. This is all I have. I want you to use my all to become your all. See, we can be used by Christ if we have this mindset that, well, God, here I am, I'm ready to be used. See, Zacchaeus, this year we have a man, a sinful man, but he was up on top of a tree, right? And when he came down from this tree, he was used by Christ. See, what tree is separating us from Christ? See, what tree is putting this distance between us and Christ? Is it some addiction? Is it something of a financial state? See, we all have this tree in our lives that maybe it's putting distance between us and Christ. Maybe it's hindering our walk with Christ. Well, Christ saying, you, come down from that tree. Make haste and come down. For today, I want to be with you. For today, I want you to be used by me. See, when Zacchaeus came down from that tree, he was used by God. His whole house was saved. He went and gave back to the poor. See, we can't win souls for Christ in a tree, right? We can't reach this world for Christ in a tree. You must come down from whatever is hindering us from Christ. See, we can see the sacrifice of the small. As the small, as small people, we ought to make these sacrifices. See, we can see the signs or traits of the small. In 1 Corinthians, it says, in verse 1, verse 26, chapter 1, verse 26 says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. See, are you saying today that, well, have you been broken in some way? Maybe it's financially, emotionally, spiritually, physically. See, the verse is not many wise, not many noble. See, when we have nothing, God is seen more clearly in our lives. See, well, I'm not saying that, well, education is bad. I'm not saying money is bad. See, but how we use these things, it can be seen as bad, right? We say as well, I have all this money. This is all me. It wasn't God. See, when we have all this clout, when we all have this worldly possession, we are putting ourselves in a place that we are being seen more than God in our lives. See, our lives should be lived out throughout the days, saying that, well, see that? All I have? That wasn't me. That was all God. See, all I have, I don't deserve it. See, Christ should be the forefront of our lives. Christ should be the one in the wheel. See, we need to put Christ in a position that he is being seen more than us. See, sometimes when we have all this earthly possession, we tend to forget where we got it from, right? We all started somewhere. We all started with nothing, but where we are today isn't because of us. See, Pastor Gerald, if it wasn't for Christ, you'd probably be in jail. All right. Not even a joke. See, where we are today isn't because of what we have done. It's because of what God has done through us. It's what God has taken this nothing, this piece of mold, this piece of mud, and transfer and breathe his breath into it. And said, well, today, that man's a preacher. Today, that sister is singing for me. See, where we are today isn't because we have worked our way there. See, where we are today is because God has placed us in this position where we can be used for him effectively and in the best way possible. See, we can see the sacrifice of the small, the signs of the small, and I'm finished. I'm done. We can see the simplicity of the small. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. See, being small, being weak, we aren't expected to be scholars. We aren't expected to be the brightest. See, I'm not the smartest guy, but God is using me by his grace. See, I'm not the most good-looking guy, but God is using me. See, we don't have to have all these achievements, these big things for God to use. We see Christ, he used this small lad. This guy, he wasn't rich. See, he brought barley loaves. In those days, barley was seen as poverty. The people that ate barley were the poor people. And yet, this poor little lad, he brought all he had. He said, God, here I am. Use me. See, we see the simplicity of the small. See, we aren't expected to be scholars. God can use anyone. He can use anything. But today, are we putting ourselves in this position that we can be used by God? Are we saying, hey, God, I'm small. You take all the glory. Hey, God, I'm small. I want to be used by you. This is all I have. Use me. That's all I have to say, church. I'd like to encourage you that being small isn't a bad thing, right? God loves using the small. Thank God today. I am small and I am ready to be used. Amen.
Amen. Brother Duncan.
I just want to thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to sing. You know, every time I see that film, it touches my heart. I know this man. I've been to Guyana 3 times, and me and my wife, we want to help Daryl, because I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt this man's going to take Guyana. I say this everywhere I go. I've got faith and trust. I pray for this man because I just want to see souls brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that one day Jesus Christ said, take me and let him go free. And that was me, and I got to go free. Yeah. And my Savior went to Calvary. Yeah. And he let me go free. I was guilty with nothing to say, and they were coming to take me away. But a voice from heaven was heard that said, take me and let him go free, and I should have been crucified, and I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. The crown of thorns, a tear in his side, and the pain, it should have been mine. Those rusty nails were meant for me that day, yet Christ bore them and let me go free. And I should have been crucified, and I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place.
in for a treat tonight. Amen. What a blessing tonight. If you have your Bibles, we go into Luke Gospel. Luke Gospel chapter 5 tonight. And the Lord has laid on my heart to preach this message tonight. Trust that it will be a blessing to the folks. Luke Gospel 5. Let us all stand for the reading of the Word of God. Luke Gospel chapter 5. Verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that they were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every tongue of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I say tonight, we cannot do nothing outside of the power of God. How we need to desire more of God's power. It's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. We need His anointing. Yeah. We need His unction to function. Amen? And the Bible said, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived the thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that wherein he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Father, bless the preaching of your word. Glorify yourself among us. Speak to our hearts. And if there's someone that's not saved, we'll get saved. We thank you for your presence, the good singing, the message already. Thank you for using us. We are small, and we ask you to use us so people can see you in us. We love you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I want to title the message. I want to give it a strange title because in the text said, we have seen strange things today. So I titled the message, Unusual Christianity. Unusual Christianity. Now, we have seen strange things today. The word strange comes from a Greek word that means unexpected. It means uncommon. It means unusual. The word does not mean weird or bizarre. We simply see here a picture, this portion of scripture here, we see a picture of unusual Christianity. Now, note some unusual things in this story before we get, I will give you a couple of thoughts that the Lord lay on my heart. But let us look at some unusual things in this story. These men had an unusual concern. Amen? These men had an unusual cooperation. They work together. We need that in the church. The church is not a one-man thing. The church is not only for the preacher and his family and just a couple of deacons and leaders. This is God's church, and we are part of the church. We are the body of Christ, and we ought to work together. We ought to unite together so we can get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. And so the church, we need to cooperate. We see an unusual cooperation. They work together. Then we see this man had an unusual commitment. These men were committed. Maybe these men had families. They had children. Maybe they had a job. But when it comes to bringing one man to Christ, they were committed. And I want to say, we see a lot of inconsistency today in Christianity. One time you're up and then you're down. And people come to church one Sunday, you don't see them three Sundays. And we see a lot of unfaithfulness today in churches and church members. And so we see an unusual commitment. Then we see this man had an unusual confidence. Look at me in verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Jesus saw what this man expected him to do. The expected result. We see four heads sticking through a hole in the ceiling. They expected a miracle from God. Notice the cause of the cure. Christ was the one who caused the healing in this miracle. We have that. We learn that Christ is the source of the blessing. I say to you, whatever we have today, whoever we are today, it is because of Christ. It is because of His grace. It is because of His favor. It is because of His goodness. It is because of His love. It is because of His mercy. God is faithful to us. Amen? Amen. We notice here in the text here, as we look into the introduction here, we see, we learn here, in fact, Christ was the only one who could bring such healing to mankind. We see verse 20, faith in Christ, we see faith in Christ by the four carriers was the condition that resulted in Christ working this miracle. We notice a wise faith. These men were wise in bringing this man to Christ because Jesus is the great physician. Amen. I still believe God is still able to heal bodies. Amen. When the doctor fails, Jesus never fails. Amen. And so we see a wise faith. We see it was a persistent faith. Even though there was a big crowd and a big multitude, nothing didn't stop these men. We should not allow the crowd to stop us. We should not allow the crowd to hinder us. We need to be persistent in our faith and in our walk with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Then it was a sacrificial faith. These men made a sacrifice. And you know the scripture in Mark where they broke the roof and they went in. They sent the man down. It was a sacrificial faith. It was a public faith. These men exhibit their faith publicly. Everybody could see their faith in Jesus Christ. It was a humble faith also, and it was an active faith. Faith without works is dead. Amen. But tonight I want to give you three very important thoughts I feel will help the church on unusual Christianity. I want you to note a couple things quickly. I want you to notice that this was an unusual church. In Mark, the Bible said that Jesus was in a house and it was full. It was an unusual church. It was in a house. And what make it unusual? It was full. It was a full house. It was packed. Think about it today. Many churches are empty today. And that's a usual thing to see. It is a usual thing to see empty pews. But here the house was full. That's unusual to see. Think about that. Because people lose the desire to worship God and to be in His house. It is unusual for some people to come to all the services. Because they are accustomed to just come on Sunday morning. We have a lot of one day Christian. We have a lot of Sunday Christian. But I believe we should be an everyday Christian. Because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And every time the door is open, every time God's house is open, people ought to be in the house and in the presence of God. In His presence is fullness of joy. And so there is no better place to be than in the presence of our Savior, worshiping, adoring, honoring Him, and giving glory. He is worthy of all the glory. And so if we really love Jesus, we will love the house of God. Amen. And so we see it an unusual church. And it is a usual thing for people to go Lime Sunday night. I'm so thankful for the faithful that are here tonight. A lot of people come to church and profess, oh, how I love Jesus. They get excited. Well, where are those people tonight? I'm a Christian for close to 30 years, and I can only recall I missed church 5 times in my life. So we see it was an unusual church. In Hebrews 10:25 said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me say it to you tonight. We have what you call today usual Christianity. People come to church and there's nothing unusual. They come, they sing, they clap, they get excited, and they go on home. But there's nothing unusual in their lives. Think about this tonight. Think about this. People come to church once or twice a week. Give a little offering. Read the Bible for 10 or 5 or 10 minutes. Pray for 5 or 10 minutes. They come to church when they have nothing else to do. And they repeat that every week. They repeat that every week. They hear the word of God and never try to practice what they've heard. You see, a lot of times people just have religion. They have never won someone for Christ. Do you know a lot of Christians, people claim to be saved and claim to know Jesus, but have never won someone for Christ? Let us do some unusual thing tonight. What are some unusual things we can do tonight? We can do some unusual praying. You see, a lot of times we pray just for a couple of minutes. And we watch TV for an hour. Come on. Many times we are on our phones for hours talking. But when we come to God in prayer, we talk to God for 5 minutes. Let us do some unusual praying. The God in heaven still hears and answers prayer. God wants us to spend time with Him. The Bible said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We need to do some unusual praying. If you want to see the power of God and you want to see growth and you want to reach this community, we need somebody with a passion and a heart that will go down on their knees and start praying for this community. Amen. We need somebody that will do some unusual praying. Who are willing tonight to spend an hour or 30 minutes every day and pray for your church? Pray for your pastor. Pray for his family. Pray for souls. Pray for your unsaved loved ones. God still hears prayers. God still hears and answers prayer. The psalmist said, the righteous cry and the Lord hears it and delivers them out of all his trouble. The psalmist said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivers me from my fears. God still hears prayer. Unusual Christianity. Let us do some unusual praying. When last you pray for 30 minutes? When last you pray for an hour? When last you spend 1 hour with God? And really, really pray. You see, we're too busy and we're always in a hurry. But we are living in a sinful, we are living in a wicked, we are living in a dangerous world. And whether you like it or not, we need the grace of God. We need God's favor and God's mercy and God's protection. We need Him. Let us do some unusual praying tonight. What about do some unusual soul winning? When last you go, I don't know the church here, I didn't discuss anything with the preacher. When last you go on visitation? When you have visitation here, preacher?
Well, we don't have one right now.
No, but normally, how you normally go?
Just encourage people to go out.
Encourage people to go. Just imagine. It is so simple to build a church and to help a church grow. You average 100 here, brother? Yes. Let me say you average 100 members at this church. And challenge every member of this church to bring one person a year. One just for a year. Every year, let them just bring one. That's all you need to do. Can you do that? That may be unusual for some people. But do something unusual. Bring that one person for that one, just for the whole. You have a whole year to bring one person. You can't do that for God. You can work on somebody. Every Christian here know at least 10 persons that are lost. You know at least 10 persons that are lost and are going on the way to hell. And you meet with those people every week. You see them. And if every member can just win one person for a year, brother, in 1 year, this church is going to have 200 people. And the next year, just let them just bring one. We have 400 people in 2 years, and you look out in 5 years, you have 1,000 people. It is so simple to build the church. We need somebody to do something unusual for God. It works. We did something unusual just a couple weeks ago. We set up 5 teams. And each team is, we have 10 inside the team. And I sent them out. I said, go there and do something big. Do something great. Do something unusual for God. Just in 3 days, one team brought how much, Josh? 250. So how much your team brought? 150 something. Another team brought 200 and something. We had 690 people came to our church for the first time. Don't tell me if it works in Guyana, it can still work here. The same God in Guyana is still the same God in America. His power is there. His power is here. His presence is there. His presence is here. We need somebody that will do some unusual praying, some unusual soul winning. We need somebody that will do some unusual Bible study and reading. Yes. We had a memory verse competition. And we had between, I say about 12 young people. Let me say about 12. 12 young people in our church has stood up and said close to 1,000 memory verses from the Bible. Amen. Christians, let me tell you, you're so blessed. Some of you have 5 Bibles, 6 Bibles. Think about it, mommy. And people don't even open the Bible and read the Word of God. People don't memorize the scripture anymore. They can tell you about some ball game somewhere. And they can tell you in details what is going on. But they don't know the Bible. They don't know the Word of God that can help them, that can strengthen them, that can encourage them, that can empower them, that can give them peace and comfort. And in times of trials and temptation, the Word of God is going to see you through. Yes. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Unusual Christian. What unusual thing you can do for God tonight? Time is running. We see an unusual church. Amen. Why don't you do something unusual this week? Why don't you love someone that doesn't love you? It's easy to love people that love you. But maybe there's somebody that doesn't love you. You know they hate you. The best bone in your body they hate. But this week, you can go there and do something unusual. Show an unusual love. Love that person. Let them know that you love them and you're praying for them. Yes. I miss a lot of time people come to the same church and they don't speak to each other. I don't know if it happens here, but it happens in Guyana. They don't shake each other's hand. It's sad. That might be unusual for some people. The Bible said to love your enemies. If you can't love your brother and sister, I wonder how you're going to start to love your enemies. If you can't pray for one another, how are you going to pray for your enemies? We see an unusual church. This church can be an unusual church. Let this church be packed. Let me get some people that will pray. Let me get some people that will do some unusual soul winning. Let me get some people that will do some unusual Bible study. Let me get some people some unusual faith tonight that will believe God to do great things. Let's move quickly tonight. We see an unusual church, but let us look at a second thought. We see an unusual condition. Notice quickly with me there as you try to push verse 5, verse 18 in Luke. The Bible said, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Notice that this man was helpless. The Bible said this man was brought in. Stay with me there in verse 18. He was brought in. You see, it is usual for us to come to church by walking and by driving. And we take the blessings of God for granted. We have our health and strength to walk and to drive. But here a man had to be fetched to church. Aren't you glad no one had to bring you to church or fetch you to church or bring you in a wheelchair? This man had an unusual condition. This man was helpless. He couldn't help himself. Don't take your blessings and what you have for granted. Here a man, an unusual condition. He was helpless. Without strength to help himself, he had to depend on these men to help him. I believe tonight, if you don't serve God now, and if you are not faithful now, a time will come in your life when you will glad to serve God and do things for him, and you will not get the opportunity. Amen. This man in a bed. Some of you should be thankful you're not in a bed. Bed speaks of the man's position. It speaks of his condition. It speaks of his situation. He was hopeless. The Bible said he was taken with a palsy. Suffering from the relaxing of the nerves. Unstrung, weak of limb. Tottering, weak and feeble knees. He was hopeless, but he was brought to Jesus, the only one who can give hope. Whenever you feel hopeless tonight, remember that Jesus is our hope. Remember, he is a solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less but on Jesus' blood and righteousness. This man was helpless. He was hopeless. He was also hell-bound. This man was on his way to hell because Jesus, this man was a sinner. Jesus said to this man, your sins are forgiven. He was a sinner. And I say to you tonight, every one of us here are sinners. And we are saved by grace. There's none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness are like filthy rags. And we can say like Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. He was on his way to hell. I'm so thankful tonight that I'm saved. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. He knows my name. I'm redeemed. I'm washed in the blood. Aren't you glad tonight you're not hell-bound? This man had an unusual condition. Look at your life. Life is going good for you. Don't take it for granted. Serve the Lord. Do something big. Do something great for God with your life. Do something unusual this week. Surprise the preacher. Bring up entire family. Work on somebody hard. Call up some people this week. Go and visit some people. Go visit some backsliders. Visit some church people that you didn't see in church for months. Go and visit them and let them know you love them and you want them to be in church. Do something unusual. Maybe you can bring 5 to church this Sunday. Use your car, use your vehicle, use your time. As we try to wrap up tonight, we see an unusual cleansing. The Bible says, when he saw the faith, he said unto him, son, thy sins are forgiven. We see an unusual cleansing. A man forgiving sin. That's unusual for people. Jesus is the God-man. Amen. Jesus is man and God. Amen. Amen. And so when Jesus said that sins are forgiven, It was unusual for these Pharisees and scribes and these religious people. How can a man forgive sin? But they did not realize that Jesus was the God-man, and he has power, and he is able to forgive, and his blood washes, and his blood cleanses us from all sins. No sin is too big or too small for Jesus. The woman at the well, she was an adulterous woman, sleeping around and living a wicked life, and Jesus transformed her life. Zacchaeus was a thief, and he came to Jesus. Hallelujah! Paul was a killer. Are you with me? He was a persecutor of the Christians, and Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. He said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? God still saves, God still forgives, and God still changes lives. And we close tonight because of time. We see an unusual conversion. We see an unusual conversion. Verse 24, quickly as you wrap up. But that ye may know that the Son of Man had power upon earth to what? To forgive sins. He said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that wherein he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. I want you to notice the man got saved while he was in his bed. That's unusual. While he was on his bed, he got saved. Hear this. God can save you wherever you are. Amen. And can meet you wherever you are and in what state you are. God can do something unusual for you tonight. Maybe your marriage is on the rock. Maybe your finance. Maybe you're having addictions. You're having troubles. Your heart is broken. Whatever is in need tonight. Maybe you're having a battle. You think that this is it. Wherever you are tonight, like this man was on his bed. And Jesus met him and met his need. Wherever you are tonight, God can do something unusual for you. He can meet you wherever you are. He can touch you, he can bless you, he can heal you, he can raise you up, he can save you, he can deliver you, he can make a way for you when there seemeth to be no way. Whatever state you are in tonight, God is able to do something unusual. I'm thankful tonight. I look at my life, I was a wicked sinner, wretched, no good. As my son said, I would have been in jail today. It wasn't easy. I used to smoke dope, marijuana, drink, and live a wicked life. I even wind up in prison. In prison, I realize that I need Jesus. I look at my life and God has miraculously liberated me and set me free and give me eternal life. Amen. What unusual thing God can do in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you said, preacher, I want God to do something unusual for me. God can do it. He's able to do it. He wants to do it. He desires to do it. But the next question, what unusual thing you can do for God? You see, a lot of times we come and pray, oh God, bless me, bless my family, bless my children. What are you doing with all these blessings? This man, after the Lord delivered him, he glorified God. Use your life, use your blessings, use your conversion so God can get glory. Not for yourself, not for your own gain, so others can be saved. Lord, what unusual thing I can do for you tonight. Let the Lord speak to our hearts tonight. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for this church. Thank you for